Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we have been able to cover the Bible starting from Genesis. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast with Dan, I ask you to please go and find them on our apps, all podcast channels, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, name it. You'll find them there. Also, on our app, Bible In-Depth Network, you can be able to find these apps there, these podcasts there. And I believe the Lord shall bless you. There is no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word to whoever shows the need. If you want God to reveal his word to you, he will come and he will reveal his word to you. We continue with our book of Isaiah that we are handling. And we've done 9 chapters. Today we'll continue chapter 10. And it says, by saying, woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions. Isaiah is speaking prophecy. He's speaking facts. He's speaking revelations that are coming to him. And for enacting evil statutes, you go sit down, set up laws that hurt others, set up things, ideas, plot evil against people. And they're saying woe to such people who enact evil statutes. Yeah, they may be leaders of nations, they may be leaders of countries, they may be leaders of institutions. Yeah? And you come out, draft something knowing this is intended for evil. This is intended to bring people down. This is intended to mess up lives, but only benefit you. And it says, even those that record unjust decisions, you're sitting there and you're part and parcel of the process that is creating trouble to others and rob, so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights, so that the widows may be their spoil and that they may plunder the orphans. God is so interested in these people. The widow, the orphan, the poor, those God has high interest in. And that's why we need to be very careful in how we treat such people. Somebody who has lost their parents, somebody who has lost their spouse, somebody who is poor, the way you relate to that person is very key, because he's the father to the fatherless. Yeah? He attends to them directly. His issues with them are direct. He comes out to fight for them. So he's telling these people that you who plunder the orphans, you steal their property, you take their land, you take their buildings, you take things that are supposed to be rightfully theirs. It is God who fights that battle directly, nobody else. So you be careful for these people in such a group. And he says, now what will you do in the day of judgment and in the devastation which will come from afar? Because after you've done this, it's evident. Everyone has seen it. Everyone knows it. God is a witness to what you have done towards the poor, the widow, the orphan. And where will you run in the day of judgment? Because it will all be plain there. And he says, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? You know, sometimes we gather all wealth as if we would go with it in eternity. Sometimes we hurt people in the process of gathering wealth as if it is all that matters. Yet, we will leave it here. Isaiah asks here, where will you leave your wealth? That which you're plundering from the widow, from the orphan, from the poor. That which you do in all manners that are not right. Where will you keep it? Where will you take it? Because when the day comes, you leave it here. You know, sometimes we fight to get much. And there's working in a genuine way, doing your best to increase your life, your wealth. That is good. But then there's somebody who comes out to work to bring wealth to themselves in ways that are not right. They kill to make wealth. They serve the devil to make wealth. They go to shrines to make wealth. They do all things that are not right, sacrifices that are not right to make wealth. The question here comes back, where will you leave your wealth? You steal to make wealth. You go and take bribes, yeah, to make wealth. Where will you take that wealth? That's the question that is coming out here. And it says, nothing remains but to crouch among the captives. All fall among the slain. This is a message he's giving them. He's saying, you will not enjoy this. To crouch, if you're crouching, your legs are bent under you so that you're close to the ground and you're leaning forward. Yeah? And he's saying that is what you'll do among the captives. They are captives, but even among the captives, you're crouching. You're seeking support. You're bent towards them. That is the category in which people who do such hurting the people of God are given. And in spite of all this, his anger does not turn away and his hand is still stretched out. What grace! What grace the Lord has for us. That after we've done all that, he does not turn away from us. The anger will not turn away, but also the grace that is abundant for you to change is there. Yes, the anger of the Lord will remain until you come out and ask for forgiveness. Until you come out and seek repentance. When you do that, God turns on your side. His anger does not turn away and his hand is still stretched out to whoever still does evil, to whoever still oppresses the poor, the needy, the orphan, God's people. And his grace, just like the anger, is still stretched out. His grace is also still stretched out. That you can turn. That you can change. That you can get back on course. That you can decide and say, I'm walking a better path with my Lord. So he's telling them that as long as you keep doing this, my anger is stretched out. But also on the opposite, the other message is, if you repent, my grace is still stretched out. What grace the Lord has for us. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I send it against a godless nation, and I commission it against the people of my fury to capture booty and to seize plunder and to trample them down like mud in the streets. Of course, you know what Assyria represents here. Assyria, the captors, the people who took Israel into captivity. Yeah? Though it happens because Israel was sinful, Assyria also goes ahead to oppress those they've taken into captivity. And judgment comes to them. Wherever you see a captor, then you see Assyria. Whenever you see the enemy, then you see Assyria. Yeah? And he's saying, woe to you. And says, yet it does not so intend, nor does it plan so in its heart, but rather it is its purpose to destroy and to cut off many nations. Yeah? Of course, that was the purpose of Assyria. It came to take people into captivity, and it was there to torture them. Yeah? For it says, are not my princes all kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish, or Hamath like Apat, or Samaria like Damascus? As my hand has stretched to the kingdoms of the idols, whose graven images were greater than those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not do to Jerusalem and her images just I have done to Samaria and her idols? Remember, the section regarded as Samaria is a section that you had the entire Israel, the more tribes, 10 tribes of Israel occupy. Then you have Jerusalem, which is Judah, yeah? And you have those two kingdoms. Israel in general is taken into captivity first. But Assyria is still looking out to take more of Israel. And says, Jerusalem, I shall also come for you and do the same like I did for Israel. Yeah, Judah, I'll come for you. So it will be that when the Lord has completed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will say, I'll punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the pomp of his haughtiness. For he has said, by the power of my hand and by my wisdom I did this. For I have understanding and I removed the boundaries of the peoples. I plundered their treasures, and like a mighty man I brought down their inhabitants. And my hand reached to the riches of the people like a nest, as one gathers abandoned eggs. I gathered all the earth, and there was not one that flapped its wing or opened its beak or chipped. Is the axe to boast itself over the one who chops it? Is the sword to exalt itself over the one who wields it? That would be like a club wielding those who lift it, or like a rod lifting him who is not wood. Yeah. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, will send a wasting disease among his stout warriors, and under his glory, a fire will be kindled like a burning flame, and the light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in a single day. Of course, Assyria. God has handed over Israel to Assyria, taken into captivity because of their disobedience. But Assyria takes all glory, takes all power, says we are the ones who have done this, and boasts in what they've done and how they've treated their people. But God promises that a day will come, and he will look at Israel once again, and he will destroy the glory of his forest and of his fruitful garden, both soul and body. And it will be as when a sick man wastes away, and the rest of the trees of his forest will be so small in number that a child could write them down. Yeah. Now in that day, the remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. You know, the enemy can strike you. The enemy can bring you down. And you're running, you're looking for refuge, you're looking for hope, you're looking for rescue, yeah? But a day comes when the Lord remembers you. A day comes where the Lord comes out to fight for you. And that's the day that is being promised to Israel here. That is a day that is being promised to you who's listening today. That irrespective of the trouble that you go through, irrespective of the pain that you go through, at work, in your health, in your children, in your relationship, in your marriage, name it, a day comes when you do not have to rely on that pain anymore. When you don't have to rely on those that struck you, but you rely on the Lord. And that is what the call is for us, to rely on the Lord. If it says rely on the Lord, it implies I give the Lord everything. I look to the Lord for everything. I focus on the Lord for everything. When I need something, I look to the Lord. When I'm seeking hope, I look to the Lord. When I'm seeking healing, I look to the Lord. When I'm seeking refuge, I look to the Lord. When I'm looking for a promotion, I don't look to man. I don't rely on man. I look to the Lord because he's the one who paved that way for us. And that's what they're telling the remnant of Israel here, that you rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. Yeah, they'll come out of that captivity that they've been placed in with Assyria, with Babylon. They'll return. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. Of course, there's destruction also that happens. When people are taken captive, there's destruction. When the enemy, when the devil takes people captive, there are those that are destroyed in the process. But then the biggest hope that we have is that we can return to the Lord. There are remnants, and I need to fight to be among the remnant that fights temptation and returns to the comfort of the Lord, to the salvation of the Lord, to the saving power, the saving grace of the Lord. I need to be that person that knows, even if we live in a world where the enemy does his best to bring us down, I will come back and walk with the Lord. I will not fail. Yes, a righteous man falls, but he gets up. When the enemy hits you, placing you into captivity, into addiction, into whatever it is, a righteous man falls but gets up. Be among those that say, I'll be the remnant that returns. Israel is being told here that though you are so many, like the sand of the sea, only a remnant of you shall return. Because some of you shall fall to the enemy. Some of you shall fall to the ways of Assyria. You shall be assimilated into their lives. And that is at least hope for us. That though the enemy, the devil, attacks, brings temptations, sometimes you fall, there is also room for a remnant. There is also room for someone who fights and says, I shall not fall to the devil, but I will return to the Lord. And he's saying, a few of you shall return. A destruction is determined. Overflowing with righteousness. For a complete destruction, one that is decreed, the Lord God of hosts will execute in the midst of the whole land. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not fear the Assyrian who strikes you with a rod and lifts up his staff against you the way Egypt did. Do not fear the enemy. Do not fear threats. People that come and tell you you're nothing and we are going to take away all that you have. We are going to bring you down in all measure. Do not fear Assyria. Do not fear the enemy. Do not fear. That's what God is saying to them. For in a very little time, while my indignation against you will be spent and my anger will be directed to their destruction. Yeah? Yes, I was angry with you as Israel, but I'll shift all that anger back to the people that have taken you as captors. Verse 26. The Lord of hosts will arouse a scourge against him like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb, and his staff will be over the sea, and he will lift it up the way he did in Egypt. There is a promise here being given to them that you shall see a slaughter like one that you saw in Midian. And in reference to it, it's in Judges chapter 7, where Gideon has rallied his 300 men to go fight. And they go and fight. And in verse 25, we are told, and they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Now, they are telling them here, that victory which Gideon saw, you shall also see it. That where they destroyed the kings of the Midianites who are troubling my people, you shall also see it, such a destruction. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of fatness. There will be a day when your enemy shall be destroyed. I don't know what enemy is troubling you. I don't know what weapon has got up to fight against you. It could be sickness. A day will come when that burden will be removed from your shoulders and that yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken. It could be troubles in your marriage, troubles in your relations. There's a promise here that a day will come when that burden will be removed from your shoulders and that yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken. It could be you're accused wrongly, and you're suffering, and you're facing jail time. A day will come when that burden will be removed from your shoulders, and that yoke from your neck, and that yoke will be broken. It could be a mental health problem that you have. A day will come when that burden will be removed from your shoulders and that yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken. That is a promise that God gives his people. He has come against Aith. He has passed through Migron. At Mishmash, he deposited his baggage. They have gone through the pass saying, Geba will be our lodging place. Ramah is terrified and Gibeah of Saul has fled away. That's what the enemy, he's boasting around. He's saying, you see, we've taken victory. We've taken places. Yeah, And sometimes the enemy boasts about how much he has tortured you, but that day comes when the yoke is broken, when the burden is removed. However much they brag about how much they've hurt you and how much they've brought you down, a day can come, and a day will come, when that burden shall be removed from your shoulders and that yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken. And goes on and says, cry aloud with your voice, O daughter of Galim. Pay attention, Lysha and wretched Anathoth. Madmen has fled. The inhabitants of Gebim have sought refuge. Yet today, he will halt at Nob. He shakes his fist at the mountain of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord, the God of us, will lop off the boughs with a terrible crash. Those also who are tall in stature will be cut down, and those who are lofty will be abased. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an iron axe, and Lebanon will fall by the Mighty One. The message here that is key is that God eventually comes to fight your battles. The message that comes here that is key is that the Lord eventually comes out to fight your battles. There are some enemies, like you saw Assyria. It's a superpower. It's a world power. It has conquered all nations of the world. And clearly, Israel has no way out. Israel looks and sees how much trouble it's in. They've taken everything they have. They've taken their riches, their wealth. They've assimilated them into a different culture. They've taken them far off. But God still comes out and says, I'll break that yoke. I'll break that burden that Assyria has placed upon you, and you'll be set free. There are things we go through in life, and you wonder, will I ever overcome this? Will I ever have victory over this? Will I ever win? Will God ever come out and pick me from the miry clay? Will God ever come out and pick me from this den of lions that wants to feed off me and destroy me completely? God eventually comes. We just need to wait on him. We just need to be patient, and we wait on the Lord, because that day will come where he'll come and fight for you. In that situation you're going through at work, where you feel like you're surrounded, you feel like you're under the oppression of Assyria, you feel like the enemy has surrounded you, things are not moving, you're held back, targets are not being met, that day comes when God comes to fight for you. You're not going to do it in your might. You're not going to do it in your power. You're not going to do it because you're the wisest. You're not going to do it because you scored the highest grades in school. No. It is God. The battle always belongs to the Lord. The fight always belongs to the Lord. He comes and fights Assyria on Israel's behalf. He will come and fight the enemy on your behalf. Trust in the Lord. And I don't know somebody who is out there listening today. I don't know what is in your life. I don't know what is burdening you. I don't know how much you've been treated badly and you feel like you're fed up with life. There's a promise that God always brings to us, that he will lift up that burden and he will break the yoke. That is the promise that God gives to his children, and you're God's child. And he loves you, irrespective of the suffering you could have gone through. Yes, sometimes it's our own making, like for Israel, that they were disobedient. And all the trouble they went through is because they were disobedient. But there's always a word that comes from the Lord, a promise for life, for hope. Because he's a gracious God. Even after we've gone through turmoil, he considers us. He considers your position. Says, I will not abandon my child. I will help them. That's what God is saying today. That I will not abandon you. I will help you. Assyria has treated you in all kinds of ways, taken you captive, brought pain to your life. But I will come and take away the burden and take away the yoke and give you a new life. That's what God tells you today. Have hope. Have faith. Wait for the Lord because he will come to your rescue. Israel waited years while in captivity. Thought that the Lord had forgotten them. But God, being a trustworthy God, a God who keeps his covenant, he came out for them. And he sang a promise here through Isaiah that I will take away the burden. I'll take away that yoke. And that yoke will be broken. That is Assyria. God shall take away your troubles. God shall take away your sickness. God shall take away your disease. God shall take away your pain. God shall take away the depression. God shall take away all things that are oppressing your life. The fear that has filled your life. God shall take it away. And he'll give you a new life because that is what he does. He's a God who keeps his promises. And if he has promised it, surely it will come to pass. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. And mighty God, today I pray for somebody who feels that they've been in bondage for long. Who feels that they've been left alone for long. I pray that your hand, Lord, comes and touches them and restores their hope and restores their life. Lord, come and fight for your children. Come and stand for your children. Come and fight the enemy. Take Assyria away and restore lives today. We exalt you and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name.